Radio, entity 0212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Talking Sound podcast. I am Chris Jordan, your host. This is the only podcast on the internet where negative 10 is a number to be desired. Coming at you live from the throbbing heart of rock and roll right here in Austin, Texas. Today, on the phone is our guest, Darren Wilson, from Limelight Production and Integration Services. Darren, how are you doing, my man?
Oh, excellent. Great to be here.
Fantastic. Well, tell everybody what you're all about.
Pretty much. I am a freelance designer and audio engineer. Work in multiple markets between corporate, religious services, private events, galas, rock and roll when you got to. You name it.
Now,
if it's a piece of truss or a speaker or a light, I will usually be there doing one aspect of it. It's not multiple.
And you, if I'm not mistaken, have recently actually relocated into the Dallas market. Is that correct?
Yes, I have.
Fantastic. Yes, I have. How's that going for you?
Pretty well, actually.
Great.
It's a little bit everywhere in the U.S. You've got to kind of learn the seasonal aspect of it and the local companies that you got in the market. But actually going very, very well.
Fantastic. Now, one of the reasons that we're having you on and why we'd like to have you on regularly is because not only are you an audio engineer, but you're also a lighting designer. You do aspects of video, things like that. You incorporate all of those things together in numerous different venues, from rock and roll. I know you've done club and venue work. We actually met each other doing corporate AV in Houston. Tell us a little bit about that, a little bit about your history and what kind of stuff you're used to doing.
Oh, wow. I've worked in every position in this industry from the top to the bottom and the bottom from the top. That includes promotion, printing t-shirts, printing flyers, doing live webcasts like yourself years ago, MP3s, back when they were a new thing. You just name it. It's changed so much over the years. You just constantly have to keep learning the next thing that, like in the fashion industry, is really what audiences bite on to. Like right now, it's video mapping and media servers. So previously in the past, it's been completely different things.
Well, and that's just it. That's what I love is that with your integration services and everything else, you really do maintain. And granted, you know, I'm much more of an analog person. I live in an analog realm: knobs, buttons, tubes, things like that. You actually work with a lot of digital things frequently. What's some of the digital consoles and things like that you're used to working with?
On the lighting side, pretty much you name it, I've touched them all. The Avalife, the Grand MA1, the Grand MA2, the Chomps have been my preferred board, honestly. Hog original boards, every version of software that's out there, laptop wise or computer that you could use. When you get onto the digital audio side, you can hit any of the Digital Pros, the SEs, the Yamaha M7s, the Persona, the Behringer, X32, which everybody loves right now.
Yeah, they're very popular.
Yeah, you just name it. The key in this industry, which I think I got lucky for me, was I used to be in the IT industry, and it just burned me out. And the entertainment industry has slowly marched directly into the IT industry.
Yeah.
Everything is 5-cat 6, everything is TCP/IP, everything is using a tablet or a computer nowadays, and if you're not computer-friendly, you're lost, even though analog's still there with all the new technology. But the one skill you have to really be able to pick up and master is how to learn something new to get your result and then move on to something else and learn it, because they're all different.
Exactly. And You know, yeah. the one thing that I love whenever we talk is the fact that you are always innovating. Every time I talk to you, man, you're talking about some new way that you have linked your gear with an app. And like the other day, you were talking about having multiple touch screens in your home studio and stuff like that. Tell us a little bit about that stuff.
Yeah, well, basically, a couple of years ago, I decided to downsize my life, and it really wanted to focus on being mobile. And as we all know in this industry, you're always a cable short. You're always 5 foot short. In cable link, or I just needed one Y cable. It's always something. And especially when you do studio stuff, you know, studios rarely live in one configuration.
Yeah.
Unless you just have patch bays everywhere, they rarely live in one configuration. You end up changing them for one project. 6 months down the road, you're flipping it again. And I just got tired of it. And I had also purchased a Class A RV, so I wanted to get things like really down and compact.
Yep.
And we were starting to see it come with, like, you know, MIDI keyboards that hook up to your iPad, but that's nothing that you're going to trust on stage. You're seeing it a little more often now with some of the tablet software, where I've seen a synth-pop band use just 3 tablets on stage. And was seeing their keyboards, everything. But yeah, just in my home studio, just between my MacBook, 2 different laptops, a netbook, my Windows desktop, going from Windows 7, XP, Mac OS, everything is connected using Core MIDI, which is a TCP MIDI. Basically, MIDI comes in and it sends it right across the network. Uh-huh. Everything is right where, using Dante to connect wirelessly right back across. Well, not wireless if I want, you know, zero latency, but with cheap networking gear, Dante back between everything. So if I want audio streaming over to another system, it's there. If I don't want to use one system, it's just an effects bank, it's there. If I want to use it as a synth, but the keyboard's over on the other one, it's there instantaneously, then there's absolutely no configuration.
Wow. Wow. And that's fantastic. That really puts a lot of digital tools directly at your fingertips without having to go through numerous programs and sync them and everything else.
Yeah, because we've all been there. You know, you get some controller, and it's promised it's going to be the end-all, be-all of interfacing a computer with, you know, either an audio or video.
The newest one always is.
Yeah, and you spend days just configuring parameters just to make the simplest function that you're like, I thought out of the box I'd be able to hit play and it would play.
Yeah.
And none of this happening, you know. I'm looking through tables and charts of MIDI channels and mapping everything and machine code channels just to make sure I get the start and the stop to work and be able to rewind. And who has time for that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that's the love of Mac, is you just get results. But in music, you shouldn't have to be going through all this building blocks just to get some sound out and what you're trying to accomplish.
Yes, exactly. And you know me. I'm, like I said, I'm much more of an analog freak. I love the knobs and the lights and everything else. I love to, most of my effects are all outboard. I don't use a lot of VSTs, things like that. So for me, it's some of what you do is pretty phenomenal. The way that everything is mapped together through networking, the same way that you would a wireless network, basically. And it's very interesting to me to see the way that digital consoles have started incorporating that.
Yeah, I mean, to the point now that the newest digital consoles are a rack mount box. Specifically referencing the X32 rack,
yep.
Which comes, I think, in 2 or 3 different flavors. One that has no screen, and one that's pretty much, you know, screen and a little bit of control. And
yep.
The new Personas, I want to say RM32 and RM16, that you can literally just walk in, set that box on stage, plug everything right into it, plug the PA right into it. It is a DSP. It's got all your speaker management built into it. It's got all your time delays for being the crossovers. It's got 16 to 32 inputs right there that you can then expand to 64 or 128 using any of the connectors or any of the other standard TCP/IP versions now of digital audio. With a $50 tablet in front of house, it's a whole new world. It's a whole new world in what we're going to be able to accomplish without, you know, building it. Because as it is now, you put on a show, you build the show.
Yes. Yes.
You know, unless you're doing the same show over and over, you don't get many options in, like, rolling a bunch of cases in, taking the front and back off, plugging a few cables in, and ta-da! Nah, it doesn't happen. You know, we end up building all these shows from scratch, whether it be a corporate gig or a religious gig or a gala. They're always all from scratch, and it's, you know, same gears on a different show the next day. The ability to just walk right in and with one device that does everything is
phenomenal. And that's just it, you know. In a studio, you have a controlled environment. When you are a live engineer, unless you're dealing with the same room day in, day out, like a theater engineer, or even a worship engineer at a house of worship, where you're in the same room day in, day out, a venue engineer. The challenge, and that's kind of what I loved about being a private engineer for bands, was that I had to learn my different rooms. Whenever we went to a new venue, it was kind of a new challenge to figure out how to deliver the same quality of sound with the same equipment in a room that's 15 feet longer and 3 feet wider than the last room.
Exactly. And things like, you know, does this place just have a kick-ass AC that, you know, drop the temperature in here 20 degrees? And, you know, now my speakers, my time alignment's up between my tweeters and myself, just from them turning on the AC or...
Well, yeah, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that, you know, especially if you're a venue guy and you translate to live audio and you start doing stuff outside in Houston with 80% humidity, things like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole new world once you start dealing with a humid environment and sound and bodies in front of your speakers.
And you can't stop the show to, you know, hook up smart, and which, you know, everybody has running anyways, but paint the whole thing and time delay your whole rig.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, but everybody's going to hate the rest of the night. You really got to be able to know that, you know, this is what's going to happen when the temperature drops 10, 20, 30 degrees and the humidity is 80, 90%. And those things that, you know, in a venue, the path of people can determine things. I mean,
yep.
If you've got a room and you EQ'd it perfectly and it's flat and you're like happy with it, and then as soon as it fills up with people, the shape of the room just makes it such a mud that it just, everything disappears. That's a big challenge. And then that's when the engineers run into a panic and cascading feedback levels and cascading noise and losing their definition between the instruments.
And it's getting even more so nowadays, especially with wireless signals and the use of wireless with everything. I've seen it more and more where at corporate events, indoor events, things like that, you'll have the wireless mics perfectly tuned. Everything will be great. No interference, anything like that. And lo and behold, you get a room full of 400 execs. They all have their Wi-Fi on their phone. They all have their tablets going. Like, those signals are 10 times more powerful than your wireless base station for your microphone.
Yeah.
So you're literally, your frequencies for wireless are just being crushed, and you can't do anything about it. And it's like, yeah, I know we checked the mics a while ago, and they sounded great. There's nothing I can do. Like, I can't warp the laws of physics.
Well, you know, those are 2.4. And everything else is at like 1.9 or, you know, with this and this and this. But you fail to realize is like when you just have such a noise floor full of other wireless noise, you can't get anything through. And you're starting to see it more and more now at corporate events where they come in with tripods and there's Wi-Fi repeaters in a room for a room of 500 people for a meeting. And there's 4 to 6 Wi-Fi stations in there at people's head level.
Yeah.
Just so they can get that room full of people to handle the Wi-Fi, which, one, just amazes me because 2.4 is the same frequency water vibrates, same thing your microwave uses.
Huh.
So you're projecting eye signals right through people's brains.
What are you saying, Darren?
They're cooking people's brains, kind of.
Don't mention any clients by name now.
I've seen it everywhere, but at the same time,
it's true.
You're putting, 50, 60, 70 dBs of wireless transmission power into a space. And we know in audio-wise, that's a lot of sound. When you say something 10, 20, 30, 40 dBs, louder than something else.
Yeah.
That's a big
difference. That's a marked difference.
Yeah, and when you're starting out at zero, say you have a perfectly zero, which you're never going to have, with RF nowadays, but that's a lot of energy that's in there that's mugging up everything else. I mean, I've had, like you say, they were fine. People walk in, everybody's Bluetooth is on, everybody's Wi-Fi is on, everybody's portable hotspot is on, which is sitting in their pocket.
Yeah.
Their tablets on, their laptops on, because they got multiple devices. And there's only 14, just 16 channels, depending on what country you're in.
Yeah.
It just brings everything down. I've had one microphone, one microphone. How can it go wrong? Outside, I'm 20 feet from the performer. I've got paddles. I'm aimed at her. The crowd came out. They put their cell phones up. Everybody's recording. I lost the mic.
Yep. And then add to that, if you're outside, don't forget that very large RF signal called the sun. It offers just a little bit of competition every once in a while to those wireless signals.
Exactly. And now you have a whole new set of challenges with cameras being a common thing. I mean, if you go into movie theaters, I don't know if people don't even notice. The phone doesn't go off. A lot of times if you go to a dentist's office and you're sitting in the lobby and absolutely nobody's phone is ringing,
yep,
there's a jammer in there and you don't even think about it until after you leave. You're like, oh, I missed a phone call. How'd that happen?
Yeah, exactly.
And I've had it on a gig, yearly gig, president comes through town, every microphone drops down across the venue as they drive past. You can't do anything about it.
Yep.
Private event. Someone walks in. You don't know who they are. They have security, or it's with them. So your wireless mic is gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just it's a panoply of issues that can go awry at any moment. And it recently, my latest analogy for what we do, because there are so many people, especially whenever I'm video opping things like that, that think like, oh, I can push those two buttons. It's just two buttons. What happens when the two buttons don't work?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people complain about what firemen get paid too, because hey, they're sitting around playing ping pong and barbecuing while they're on 4 days and off three, but. You sure are happy whenever they show up, whenever you call 911. Like, they're normally the first people to be there.
It's all
suddenly the price is also worth it. And, that's kind of the point that I've tried to get people to for so long, is to understand, you can work with volunteer staff, have trained volunteer staff. At least take the time to send your volunteers through some professional training. So that they aren't damaging tens of thousands of dollars a gear. It always blew my mind, even with rock and roll and venues, how someone would much rather pay someone $50 and a bar tab to come run sound on the night than to pay them $100. And it's like, so you want someone that's going to come in and have like 10 drinks while they're working? Really?
Yeah.
You want someone that's going to come in and drink $50 worth of liquor? That's what you want. Running, like, that's like, hey, drunk guy, take my B&W home for me.
And as I tell people, when they ask what you do for a living, you know, I say the same thing cops do. They go, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I deal with a lot of jerks. I deal with people who are always mad and expect, like, everything to change instantaneously. And it is hours of boredom peppered by moments of sheer terror.
Moments of sheer terror, exactly.
If you go down the wrong step in resolving one of the many crises that can happen on a gig, it can turn it from you solve the problem, the show's still going, and the audience never noticed, to, folks, we need you to go outside for 20 minutes while we have technical difficulties. That's what you're paying for. That's why you're paying that extra money for someone who is a professional in the industry and not volunteers, or, you know, they do it on the weekend, or, you know, they've always wanted to, or play the drum.
Well, and it's nothing against them. They have their place, and, you know, that's what cable monkeys are for, and stage hands and things like that. But not everybody should be bolting your truss together.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
The people that push cases shouldn't be the same people in charge of security necessarily. So, and that's just it. It's learning the nuances of what it takes to get a show done that really kind of separates things. Now, what kind of shows have you been working on recently?
Recently, it's going between corporate events and private weddings and parties. This last week, including in today, private Western themed, a lot of decor lighting, long trucks around multiple points, everything clean, hidden, you know. Same kind of thing as, like I said, we deal with the fire. Separate company came in and put video screens all around the room. The client came in at 6 o'clock and said, no, we want 20-foot projector screens. Get rid of all these TVs.
What are you doing with all this stuff that we ordered? That's not what we had in our brain.
Yeah, I didn't realize a 32-inch TV was going to be 32 inches. You know, that's actually
Well, that's not big at all. No, it's not.
But there are a lot of corporate gigs, pretty much daily, from every kind of position. And to reinforce what you said before, last week did a corporate gig, came in, real simple, ballroom, two screens, rear projection on staff, speakers on sticks. Four of them, a couple of part sales, one fallback, confidence monitor, speaker timer, you know, couple Comar switchers at front of house, all the ECC lighting board, couple trees out front with Lico's on them, a couple of hair lights upstage, just give a little hair light for sport part, and in the middle of the show on the first day, the switcher just started losing it.
Oh, no.
On the video op, which was the production manager and the lighting guy all at the same time. So he's sitting multiple, he's literally sitting in a round kind of configuration with the mixer to his left and the lighting board to his right and the video in between and like 8 laptops.
Yep.
But to be able to handle all of those inputs and all those different cues with different 10 to 15 different speakers who came in and had their own little feels about, you know, why it's so great to be at this company and we love it so much, and their presentation video and their PowerPoint, and then to catch that error and be able to switch it over without the show stopping is what, you know, justifies why we make what we make.
Yeah, that's the money moment right there at the show.
That one thing. Because I've seen plenty of other ones where it didn't happen. It's just, even with all the best intentions in the world, multiple failures, cascading, boom, 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 we're down for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And there's no feeling in the world in any production when that happens.
Yeah, exactly. And those are the golden moments behind a board, whether it be an audio board, video console, lighting console, where that cue just happens, it rings off just right, and everything just pops. You know, that's the moment that like hours of setup was literally all about, was that one moment, that key moment. And it's so great when it does happen. It's amazing.
Which comes into all those other things that, you know, you learn in this industry, and unfortunately for a lot of people take years to learn, is, you know, why we run tables a certain way, why we do these things almost religiously.
Yeah.
In a dogma. We really do have a lot of dogma in the things we do.
We do.
You hear it all the time. Somebody does it this way, and of course that's usually when someone gets hurt, but there's reasons when it comes down to why you lay your feeder down this way, and why you lay your power first, and why you lay your audio over here, and why you make those super nice, clean cable runs. So when something goes wrong on one end, you know, you're walking 500 feet to the other end, you know exactly with confidence which cable is the one that's giving you a problem.
Exactly. It's not trying to sort through a pile of noodles to find out which one's made of wheat.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or hitting the ring while a band's on stage and the channel's flipping out. When you're going through 264 channel patch phase in front of 50,000 people, trying to say, wait, what? It's on what subsnake, which is plugged into what? So channel 17 is plugged into 32, but 32 is patched over to 24.
Well, and you know, I talked about that a couple episodes ago in Confessions of a Sound Man, where I was talking about most people unfortunately see sound guys in a really bad light. Like, we are not necessarily ogre-ish, but codgerty might be the word. Cranky. And
yeah,
it's
ponytail. I mean, it is fashionable, but yeah.
Like I explained, though, it's our OCD nature. It's the fact that, wait a minute, man, we took the time to label every one of those cables. What are you doing? Like, please don't touch that. Excuse me, please don't touch that. Hey, man, don't touch that. See the sign? Don't you see the sign that says, don't touch that?
Well, of course, you have to touch it, you know? It's going to shock you while I get shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just human nature. But I think a big part of it is our industry tends to attract behind-the-scenes people. You know, there's people who want to go to shows, and there's people who want to put on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, the joy is building that and doing that hard work and doing the stuff that everybody never sees. That's the fun for us.
That's just it.
Because you're like, you know, for them it's magic and it's beautiful and they're lost in the moment. You're like, eh, okay, you know, last week's one was better.
Yeah, yeah.
But that also leads into, you know, we work long hours, so everybody in this industry is tired, so you're always cranky. We're a lot of outsiders. A lot of it is, you know, the rock and roll roadie industry and that aspect, which is separate from the corporate or, you know, religious services or private events. They are such different night and day different industries within the same production industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, I think the technical aspect is you only get so much in life. You can be smart or you can be pretty, but you generally don't get to be both. You know, and we get to be smart, but we don't get good social skills.
No, we don't.
Well, a little guy can hear things that 99% of people in the room are never going to hear. And a lying guy can see things that, you know, 99% of the people in the room aren't going to see. And the video guy is doing, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of leads you to this point where, you know, and you hear people have to dumb down my views to make money in this industry. That's what we do. We dumb everything down.
Yeah, we truly see the forest for the leaves, not even the trees.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's our job to juggle those 85 aspects at the same time.
Exactly. And then, of course, you always... while I'm doing this day and night, people who always want to walk up to you and tell you how to do that job.
We should make a video where people go to have their car dropped off to be worked on. And then they come up and be like, hey, man, you should totally put that brake on like this. Just like walk in and start telling a shit. Just like some strange guy walks in like, hey, you should flip that steak, yo.
I went next door earlier and got a new front tire for my motorcycle. Got it put on, and I specifically, when I walked in this motorcycle shop, because they're known to be like roadies in our industry, arrogant, pissed off, you know,
uh-huh,
whole bunch of face if you tell me how to do your job, kind of guy.
Surly.
And, yes. So, I'm on the tire. I'm like, I just needed to change the tires out. I don't need to balance or nothing. You know, I'm taking all this stuff myself. I just need to take the old tire off, put the new tire off. And I did not point out the fact that my motorcycle, the brake, is on the opposite side of the wheel. But I thought the tire guy would be intelligent enough.
I mean, it's only on one side of the wheel.
And the tires are marked to tell you directly. Travel, so you know which way is. So yeah. You look at the tire, take the old one off, you put the new one on. But I did not tell him because I don't want to walk into his shop and be like, "Hey, man, let me tell you how to do your job." Every single day, and unfortunately, of course, he put the tire on backwards and he got to do it again.
Oh no. Well, and that's just it. You know, it is such a social commentary. Like, there are only so many things that can happen. Like, you know, we see it all the time where I can check microphones by myself all day and all 10 or 15 of them. But the second somebody who doesn't sound like me steps up, I can't really tell you what it's truly going to do. Like, yeah, they may have a huge booming bass vocal that makes things feed back. I don't know. Right now, it's set to my voice, so unless I have that person in front of me, you know, you got to give me a minute or two to be able to flex to that.
Exactly, and every human speaks differently between racial boundaries and societal boundaries. You know, some people are a loud talker, some people are quiet talkers, some people look at you when they talk, some people look down.
Exactly.
And then you get, you know, German and French on the same stage at the same time. And one of them is everything is going through their nose because everything is nasal. So you've got all this upper mids and highs, which all of a sudden just through. And then you got a German who's like everything's coming through guttural through their nose, their throat, and their gut. And you're like, well, I'm cutting kind of the mid and the bass out, so he doesn't sound like he's blowing the PA out of the room.
Well, and that's just it. It's
time and experience.
It's learning, well, and it's learning the delicate balance and dance that is sound and how it works and how it reacts to the environment around it.
Exactly.
And, well, on that note, we're actually out of time for today, Darren. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I would like to chat.
Well, and we'd love to have you on anytime you can make it. Feel free to give us a call and let us know new things that are shaking in the Dallas area, new projects that you're involved in, new technology that you have heard say about, all that kind of good stuff. Yeah. All right, buddy?
Definitely, for sure. Would love to.
Well, fantastic. Well, before we take off, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can visit and see some of your work?
Oh, sure. You can check me out on Facebook or at my website at limelight-services.com. That's limelight-services.com.
Well, fantastic. And make sure to go there and check that stuff out. Like I said, Darren is an amazing engineer, and the stuff that he does is fantastic and really next-level stuff. Make sure to stop by and check us out online, www.talkingsoundshow.com. You can also check out video of these podcasts on our YouTube page. Just go to YouTube and put in Talking Sound Show. You can also find us on the social media, Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsoundshow, as well as on Twitter, @talkingsound. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Chris Jordan, your host, and we will see you next time on the Talking Sound Podcast. Take care.
Talking Sound.